Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Safilo Group First Quarter 2007 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Claudio Gottardi, CEO, and Mr. Francesco Tagliapietra, Director of Administration and Control of Safilo. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for participating into our conference call. My name is Claudio Gottardi. I'm the CEO of Safilo Group. We will concentrate today on the report of our first quarter results and some guidelines on how we see the year progressing. This is my third conference call with investors, and I'm pleased to report data that is generally in line with or is exceeding the general consensus. I'd like to point out in particular the brilliant results achieved during the first quarter of this year in sales. Our growth of 13% in euro, or 16.8% in constant currencies, has probably surprised most of our analysts. What is particularly significant in this number is that Paul Ralph Lauren represented approximately 10% of last year first quarter revenues. I'd like to remind you that the announcement of the non-renewal of the license came at the end of the first quarter last year. If you consider our starting point, the sales of last year minus the Paul revenues over sales, our sales grew more than 20% this year. This was achieved by significantly improving our inventory by year-end in order to guarantee the highest possible level of service to our customers, but also by focusing on replacing the lost business with specific collections designed and marketed to replace the sales in the same customer base at about the same price point. This was achieved with particular success in the United States, where sales in dollars year over year saw a marginal improvement, but where Paul represented a significant part of our revenues, approximately 20% during the first quarter of last year. We also succeeded in pushing other key strategic drivers that are significant for our present and future success. In fact, we saw a double-digit growth rate for our house brand business. Maintaining this growth rate will be significant for our future. Also, the growth of our optical frame business at a double-digit rate represents another area of considerable improvement. This was achieved while the business of each of our key licenses grew at approximately the same rate. In fact, all top five licensees grew at double-digit rates. Having achieved significant and constant improvement of all strategic drivers has helped to maintain healthy growth and significant stabilization of our expected future performance. I would now like to give you some more detailed information by geographical area. I start with impressive growth in Europe. European sales grew thanks to an almost flawless distribution process this year. The increased inventory at year-end, a more accurate forecasting system, has allowed us to take full advantage of the surge in sales during the peak season of the continent. This was in stark contrast with a poor performance last year, where significant orders were not delivered on time, with the results the first quarter figures were artificially deflated, and second and third quarter's results artificially inflated. We expect the year to average double-digit growth for Europe, nevertheless. But growth comparison quarter over quarter will be impacted not by actual sales growth, but by lack of service in the first semester of 2006. I would also like to point out that the introduction of Hugo Boss has been a huge success in Europe, already becoming, only 6 months after its introduction, the fourth best-selling licensed collection of Safilo Group. Even surprising ourselves, in America, we replaced all of our Polo sunglass business, thanks to to the launch of Armani Exchange and Mark Bromad Jacobs. We will need some more time to entirely replace the optical frame sales, although 50% of it has already been replaced with exceptional growth of all other licensed brands, above and beyond the expected organic growth. During the remainder of the year, America will enter into a favorable momentum, following the fast slowdown of polo sales of last year, seen after the first quarter. We expect Americas, therefore, to start to show good positive growth over the next quarters. The Asia-Pacific market is also showing significant growth of approximately 20% in local currencies. This was achieved with a moderate growth in Japan and Australia, mature and particularly difficult markets, and where polo was especially significant last year, and with an astonishing growth in the rest of the area of approximately 50% growth. We expect the growth of this area to continue for the year at about the same rate. Speaking about the breakdown by product categories, we would like to emphasize that while we're proud of the 15% increase in sunwear, we're particularly happy about the growth of our prescription frame business. While the growth of prescription frames is, in percentage, less than sunwear, 10%, the sunwear market is impacted significantly by seasonality and the particularly brilliant execution of our distribution and forecasting for 2007. While the prescription frame market is just a result of a constant improvement of our marketing and product mix. This allows to foresee a continuity in this growth that we have planned for. Also, growth in sport may seem dismal when it's reported in euro, but in reality, the majority of our sport business comes from the area of the US dollar. Our growth in sport, when the exchange rate effect is considered, is close to an increase of 10%. Considering the especially poor winter sales season, we're increasing market share significantly and growing also this area. I will now leave Francesco Tagliapietra to describe some of the details of the financial results.
Good afternoon to everybody. The first quarter of the year ended with an 11.4% increase in the operating result and an improvement in net profit of 22.4% despite the weakness of the US dollar. If we look at the quarterly profit and loss in detail, it may appear, in percentage terms, that the results have worsened compared to the same period of 2006. In reality, it is worth noting that the quarterly revenues include 5 to 10 million euros which relate to the sale of polo stock present in the warehouse and which was devalued at the end of 2006. It was, of course, not possible to obtain any gross margin on the sales of this product, given that the sale took place at cost value. If we exclude from the quarterly sales this product, revenues would have increased in any case by double digits at around 10%, while the gross margin would have seen a slight percentage improvement compared to the previous year. It is furthermore necessary to underline how the negative impact deriving from the weakness of the US dollar is particularly strong at the gross margin level, given that the majority of the cost of goods sold is produced in euros. These observations highlight how we are achieving the results that we had set ourselves within the industrial area, and consequently we expect to be in a position to improve our gross margin net of exchange rate effect during the course of the year. With regard to commercial costs, we have slightly increased marketing expenditure as we continue to invest in our house brands, which, as you have an occasion to note, are obtaining excellent results. The remaining commercial costs are for the most part variable, while the fixed commercial expenses, as for G&A costs, have increased less than sales, benefiting also, in this case, from the positive effect of the weak US dollar. Bearing in mind, therefore, these effects resulting from the sales of polar products with a zero margin and the exchange rate effect, our quarterly like-for-like EBITDA would be approximately 18% of turnover. Financial expenses have decreased compared to 2006, both in absolute terms and in percentage value, despite the fact that our average debt has increased slightly. This situation is a favorable result of the reduction of the average cost of the debt. Management of fiscal costs is also improving. In this quarter, we have managed to stay below 40% tax incidence, in line with our objectives and as discussed with some of you. We are therefore satisfied with the net profit, which has grown by 22.4% and is already greater than the half of the result reached during the whole 2006. Cash flow management is in line with expectations and with the normal trends in terms of seasonality. The strong growth in sales has led to an increase in working capital in the part related to the receivables, also because particularly high growth was achieved in Italy and Europe, where payment terms are on average longer. Inventory levels have remained for the most part stable compared to the beginning of the year, while we have experienced a higher cost cash out than the first quarter of last year in terms of payables related to suppliers who worked for us during last quarter of 2006 and contributed to the increase of stock levels. Investments in the quarter are slightly higher than last year due to different seasonality. I believe that at the end of this year we will have a level of investment similar to 2006. Total net is 556 million euros, which should represent the peak value for the year, given that, in our business, the seasonal nature of sales creates a generation of cash concentrated in the second half of the year. Claudio would now like to give you some further information regarding our future projects.
I will now focus on our retail strategy and accomplishments. As most of you know, our retail chain in the United States is growing with a rate of approximately 3 new stores each month. Today, we own and operate 89 stores in the United States. 30 new stores are presently either under construction or on the drawing board of our architects. During the first quarter of this year, we also opened the first store in the Caribbean, precisely St. Thomas, making the start of our expansion strategy outside mainland USA. Our goal is to open our 100th store by summer solstice 2007, both for marketing reasons and good charm reasons. We're continuously pleased with our retail sales growth, which demonstrate positive comp sales increases and particularly healthy results for new stores. To further expand our strategy on retail for solstice outside the USA, we have hired new key management position for other significant key markets. These individuals, all coming from strong retail backgrounds, started to operate in the first quarter of 2007, and we expect results from them by the end of this year to the start of next year. In particular, I would like to point out the hiring of the key retail executives for the South Pacific market as well as the one for Europe. The executive hired for Europe has immediately started to review and direct the efforts of our new acquisition in Spain, Loop Vision. Just remind you that we purchased Loop Vision in November of last year and is a chain of about 65 stores in Europe. In the meantime, to better take advantage of synergies, the head office of Loop was closed and merged with the office of our wholesale operation in Southwest Panama. We're ready now to move a step forward in our retail strategy. Within the year, we expect to add new markets to our portfolio and keep expanding with a constant focus on the high end of the retail segment. This completes the formal presentation and review of our slides, and I would like now to leave room for questions by the participants of the phone call.
The first question is from Mr. Mark Festa of Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. First question, I thought you would start to report retail separately from 2007. Apparently it's not the case, but could you give us a more precise figure on the retail performance in Q1, both in terms of sales growth and profitability? Second question, do you still expect to sign new license by the end of the year, or are you now satisfied with your current portfolio? And final question, could you be interested by Sebe, which I think has been put on sale by Marcolin?
Yes, I'll start from the last question. We already responded to requests about interest in Sebe. Sebe is a brand that is quite minor in the sport business and is really competing against Carrera and Smith, which are the two main brands we have both in the United States and Europe. We think that in the sport business, there is really room only for very few brands. The top of the market is made for a very limited number of brands. And adding brands to our stable is not going to increase our sales. It's only going to weaken our focus in getting where we want to get. We have an American brand, which is Smith Sport Optics, and we have a European brand, which is Carrera. That's our focus, and that's where we're going to concentrate our effort in the near future. As far as new license, as you know, we have a new license agreement that we announced a few months ago with Banana Republic, which is going to be very significant in the United States, and it will start by the end of this year. We have likely some new agreements that are going to be finalized before the end of this year, but at this point we cannot foreclose who they are with and when they're going to be. As far as our retail at this point is still marginal to our total sales, and our strategy, we decided to start publishing data on retail only later on this year into next year.
Yes, in terms of details for retail, we are already reporting the split of sales between retail and wholesale. We will not report for this year any information in terms of profitability, because as you can imagine, half of the retail sales are made through the Spanish chain, of which we don't have last year figures. So we couldn't, in any case, report comp sales or something like that.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Luca Cipiccia of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Just a follow-up question on the previous one. Can you isolate the impact of Loop Vision in the European performance for the quarter? That's the first question. And secondly, on your comments about looking for new markets, can you give us more clarity on what geographies you are orienting yourself?
Yes, as far as figures of Loop, the total sales on the first quarter of the Spanish chain is close to 6 million euros.
6 million.
As far as new markets is concerned, I mentioned before the expansion in the Caribbean, which we've already started. We already announced, as I said before, we hired somebody for the South Pacific. In fact, we are expecting to start moving into Australia soon, and likely something's going to happen later on during this year with some plans for China. And other markets may come along while we are investigating, and in several other markets. But those two likely are going to be the next ones to move.
And if I can ask on this, how does the Solstice retail brand fit into this?
Are you talking? Every single sunglass store will open at the worldwide level will carry the brand Solstice.
Okay, but your comment refers both to optical and sun. Oh, sorry.
No, optical stores will likely carry the brand OptiFashion. We are finishing now the registration of the brand OptiFashion on the worldwide level, and so we're going to keep two different brands: one for sunglasses,
yeah,
and one for optical.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Mr. Stefano Corneliani of Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have three questions. The first one, if you could quantify the dollar effect on your EBITDA for the quarter, if possible. The second one, about the sales you recorded as for the Polo Flooring inventory. Should we expect further sales in the forthcoming quarters? And the last one is about your inventory. If you could spend a few words of the current inventory level, if it's a sign of a stronger sales growth even in the forthcoming quarters. Thank you.
So, yes, about the U.S. dollar impact, at EBITDA level, the negative impact has been €3 million. As far as Polo sales is concerned, we expect some other sales in the second quarter, but they will become smaller and smaller. So the impact in percentage that we had in the first quarter is not expected to have a similar impact in the second one. So I expect making something in terms of €1-2 million revenue.
As far as the inventory instead is concerned, when we got to the end of last year, already during the second semester of last year, it was necessary for us to take some risk in our forecasting, because obviously our sales were not going to be as predictable during the first quarter of this year as they would have been last year due to the changes into the mix of products and collections. So we took some challenges, increased significantly the inventory toward the end of the year so that we could start coming out of the gate beginning of this year, taking full advantage of the new position of our collections and the eventual increase in styles and offering that we had to replace the Polo collection. Demonstrated in Europe, we took full advantage, we did very well, and at this point I think we peaked with the inventory, and from now on, also for seasonal reasons, we should start to see the inventory decreasing month over month, which should help us also, and was partly described also by Francesco before. It also explained the reason why our first quarter is the most negative quarter from a cash flow point of view and from a debt exposure point of view for the year.
Thank you. If I may have a follow-up question about Solstice, could you give us the turnover of the retail chain in the quarter?
Stefano, sorry. If you consider that the impact of spend of Loop is €6 million,
yeah.
I don't have the figures in front of me, but you can find easily the impact of Solstice.
The next question is from Mr. Antoine Belge of HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good evening. It's Antoine Belge at HSBC. A few questions. The first one is relates to your full year guidance. What is the euro dollar rate that you're using to get to that that guidance? And then in this 7%, what is the currency impact, and also how much of Polo Ralph Lauren sales are you taking into account? I mean, I understand from previous question that if I add up the 5 to 10 million we had in Q1 plus a few million in Q2, this should be around 10 million. Could you confirm that? Then a question on the gross margin, what is the underlying rate of gross margin that you assume to come to your EBITDA figure of 190 million over the full year? Then would it be possible to have an idea of the comps at Solstice in the first quarter in the US? And finally, on the tax rate, you were below the 40% rate in the first quarter, I think 38.6 or something like that. Is that a rate that you think is sustainable over the full year?
So as far as guidance is concerned, that the 190 million euros that we gave in last call was calculated with an average for the year of the US dollar at 130. Obviously, in this moment, the level of US dollar is much weaker than that. Before updating the guidance, we want to wait at least one quarter. We hope to be able to compensate the eventual fluctuation of the US dollar, but before saying that, we want to wait. As far as the Polo impact, I was mentioning before, at the end, the total sales of Polo for year 2007 are expected of 10 million, not more than 10 million euros. These are sales on which we do not make any margin. So these sales are already included in the 190 million euros of expected EBITDA on year end. As far as tax rate is concerned, obviously quarter after quarter there could be some fluctuation in the tax rate, because it depends from the level of profitability of different companies and the group. I expect to stay close to this number for the whole year, so it could be 39 or 41, but this is the tax rate that I already set as target for the company for this year.
Yeah, the CAM sales of Solstice are positive. They are in the single digits. We, as I said before, we're only at the start of this experience with Lupin and Solstice opening so many new stores that I think that by end of this year we're going to start to give you comparable data year over year and give you a little bit more information. But yes, we are in the positive single digits growth.
Okay, and I mentioned that, I mean, the level of the gross margin that you expect over the full year, based on this 130, you know, dollar euro, and given, you know, that you would have around 10 million.
At this stage, we prefer not giving details about percentage at the gross margin or G&A or commercial cost level. The only thing that I can say is that each cent fluctuation of US dollar impacts on 1 million euros at operating profit level.
Okay. And just a follow-up, I mean, you mentioned that that the house brand had a good start to the year. Would it be possible, at least qualitatively, to have like a ranking of the one that, you know, did the best?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
You know, within your stable of house brands, you know, which one, you know, which one was you know, did the best, and you know, if you any qualitative comment that you could give on the performance of each of the house brands.
Both Carrera and Smith experienced last year significant double-digit growth, and they have achieved the significant double-digit growth even this year. There is where we're investing most of our money in growing our house brands, and where we expect to have to put the biggest return in the future.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Francesca Di Pasquantonio of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, sorry to go back to one question which was already asked, but the line was bad. In terms of new licenses, if you could just summarize the answer to your previous question. The second question is on retail strategy. You mentioned that you are ready for new market. My question is, are you going to pursue retail expansion more in sunglass or in optical frames? And if you are going to aggressive develop optical frames retailing, can you please maybe explain where, in which markets? And thirdly, will it be acquisitions or greenfield operations? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. Well, there are informations about what markets and where and how much and what that are a little bit delicate because if it's in the hands of our competitors, they can make it more difficult for us to enter those markets as well as maybe run the prices up or the cost of doing it. So I cannot be more precise. As I've been saying during the road shows and in other opportunities and meetings, our retail strategy is not to go after large retailers. Therefore, it's a much more targeted, focused concept of high-end, limited to markets where we are not satisfied with our present wholesale strategy. For instance, we have no intention to enter the Italian market in particular because we do have an excellent relationship with our customers. But there are markets where the opportunities are there and we have to take them. There are markets where our wholesale is weaker and we think that retail can be a strong solution to growing that business in that market, as well as there are opportunities that are based on market trends in general and the opportunity of economical growth and GDP growth of certain specific markets. So obviously, I would say that Russia, India, and China would be, for, of course, three markets where we would start as soon as possible to develop a retail strategy. Now, to what extent and how, it may be a little bit too much to say to for our competitors. But that is, in general, how I would answer your question. As far as new license agreements, we are giving very little importance to new license agreements at this point. I think that what we need to do for our long-term strategy is that to have the right license agreements for the right mix of products that are going to fit to our strategy long-term, which includes our retail strategy. Therefore, just adding brands for the sake of adding brands really doesn't make any sense for us. What we're trying to do, we're trying to add brands that do not cannibalize, that cover a certain niche of the market and are either for price point, age group, friends, or whatever, right for what we need to do. As a wholesaler only, we would probably have an approach of adding to no extent or no limit. But as a wholesaler to become also a retailer on the high end and also to make sense within our investments and to get the maximum returns of our investment, we have to be very careful what we add and when we add it. So we are in props always open to discuss license agreements. We do have a couple of very interesting high-end, very high-end brands that we're working with right now that likely will be by the end of the year, before the end of the year, one or two of them announced. But it's not like we're dying to go for the next license agreement. I think that the past history of this industry is really past.
Okay, sorry. Can I ask a follow-up question, please? What has the impact of Loop Vision be on the inventory position?
On inventory, you mean, is not substantially. I even don't know the number in this moment.
So it's 65 stores. I don't think that every store has more than 1,000 or 2,000 units on average. So likely it'll be something in the range of about 80 to 100,000 units total. Considering that our inventory is in several million units, I don't think that Loop is having an effect. Now, but it will have an effect on how we manage it and how we're going to manage it for the future to get better results from its point of view of margin. That's yes, but right now it doesn't have an effect or impact on our inventory levels.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti of Euromobiliare. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Just one question left, that is on the top-line growth contribution. Could you provide us with the contribution in Q1 of the new licenses, so the license you launched last year? And you said that you are reporting your retail sales, but I was not able to find in the presentation or in the press release. So could you provide us with the retail sales in Q1?
So as far as the new licenses, the impact is, I would say, between 5% and 7% of total sales.
Okay.
And the second question, Domenico, was
on the retail sales in Q1. You said you were reporting retail sales, but sorry, but I was not able to find this figure.
If you go in the report that we have just published, and in the split of sales, we
okay, in the full report, you mean?
In page 9 on the report.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
The next question is from Mr. Peter Farron of Bryan Garnier. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. Most of my questions have been answered. I've got a couple left. Firstly, if you could give us the impact of FX on the gross profit or gross margin. You gave that at the EBITDA level. Second question, again, on your sales, well, sales and EBITDA guidance, you seem to be saying that excluding the FX impact, it is actually conservative. If you could actually confirm that. That's it.
Yes, we can confirm that, but we didn't understand the first question. The second part of the question, we confirm our guidance. But what was the first part of the question?
The second question was whether you can confirm that the guidance is actually conservative on the basis of a euro dollar at 1.30. Not that you're confirming it, but you're confirming that it is conservative, as you suggested a few minutes ago. And the first question was the foreign exchange impact on your gross profit as opposed to EBITDA level.
Yes. And, in terms of, if you consider that the total impact of US dollar at the EBITDA level is 3 million, the impact negative at the level of gross margin is, if we're in the range of between 13 and 15 million euros, while we recover in the G&A and commercial cost, because obviously in this case we take advantage of having some structures in US.
Yeah.
As far as guidance, we confirm the guidance 190. Obviously, based on what I was saying, theoretically, if the average of the year will remain of the US dollar, it will remain at 135, the guidance could be adjusted at 185. But we are working for keeping 190. Despite the situation with US dollar. But at this stage, the guidance remains 190 at 130.
Okay. So the final one, I didn't quite hear the Ralph Lauren sales in Q2. Did you say roughly 10 million euros?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Ms. Laura Leonardelli of UBS. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions on your sales performance, please. Firstly, clarification about the incremental contribution coming from new licenses. You've mentioned between 5 and 7% of sales growth. Are you talking about growth excluding Forex, or is net of the Forex impact?
Laura, is including Forex, consider that the most important brand is Hugo Boss, and the Hugo Boss has been mainly sold in Europe.
Okay.
So the impact of the new license is lower than in the average for the group.
Okay. And my second question is related to the sales performance of your brand portfolio. Have you said that the top brands are performing double digit in sales? And if it is so, could you comment about the different performance to your own stores or to a third wholesalers? And finally, my last question is, what's the best seller in your brand portfolio currently? Thank you.
The sales of our top licensed brands has been in significant double digits across all markets, basically, with no particular exception.
the same was in our stores. The growth we had was about the same in our stores as it was in the other markets. Now, considering that our stores represent a very minor amount of the total sales, they have not impacted or helped to grow this business at all. It's just that they participated the same amount with the same percentage of each one of those. In our growth of 16.8% in currencies, on average, as I say during my presentation, happened across almost every single key driver. It happened in optical against sunglasses, it happened against house brands, against licensed brands. It happens more or less across the board. Even in sport, as I explained to you, that grew about 10%. So obviously, our licensed brands, key licensed brands, grew in the range of about 15, between 20%.
Including Gucci, sorry.
Yeah, Gucci too. Gucci's doing very well. The first quarter, strong double-digit growth. Armani, Dior, each one of our key brands grew at a strong double-digit growth, each one of them, yes.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Mr. Flavio Cereda of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. I have three questions, more to do with strategy in a way and what's going on. Can you give us an update on the situation in Korea, please, and how much that impacts the kind of growth rates that we're expected to see this year? Secondly, we know that your competitor will be launching their version of Solstice towards the end of this year, which I believe is called Delore. Now, the luxury product is not something that they necessarily are used to, but you know they're fast learners. So I was wondering, especially in some markets in the U.S., for example, if they roll this out quite aggressively, are you likely to be in a position where you might come under pressure from your licensors to actually sell some of your products to them, or would your policy be, we're not in their stores and we're going to keep out of their stores? I was just wondering what kind of pressure they can put on you, I guess in the same way that Chanel puts pressure on them to make sure that they're in their stores. And in your stores. And the last question I have was on Loop Vision. I was wondering when will we be able to get proper financials, including details of profitability and that kind of stuff on that chain. Thank you.
As I said before, we expect to report data of retail starting from beginning of next year once we have first, comparisons. Second, we also have properly managed and organized ourselves to manage that situation. As far as the new concept of retail of Luxottica, there's nothing new about it. They had it before. It was called Sole Mio, I believe, and they closed it beginning of this or end of last year. They're just coming back and do it again. I guess I'd be glad to sell to them. Nobody say that we are not going to want to sell to them. It's just a question. They have to come up with something that is acceptable for the brands that we represent, and not for us. And Gucci has to be happy to sell to their store. They're not happy to sell to Sangasa. They will not let us do it. Sole Mio was also not there yet. I know they're representing themselves with the same concept with a new name, i.e., I think they probably do a better job, and we'll be happy to sell to them. I don't see why not. From the point of view of competition, as far as I know, they're not planning to open a lot of those. But in any event, I think that what the American market has shown is that if you have the right conducive channel to sell the products in the right way, the American market will buy it. The point is that nobody was selling high-end sunglasses in America with a retail concept that was worth a penny. It was all based on corners in department stores, airports, and things like this. Solstice probably showed the way to others. Some others will follow, but I think the market will just raise their
the number of products that are being sold in that channel distribution, which is going to make everybody happier. Just remember that when we came out with Solstice and I was talking about selling sunglasses at $150 average, people were laughing in my face. They thought that it was impossible in America. Well, our average price is above $200 today and has moved the average price of sunglasses in America higher. Just have to give them a way to buy them, and if they want to join into the game, we'll be glad to sell to them.
No, if you could tell us about Korea, please. Thank you.
I thought I was missing something. Korea, we started selling beginning of this year, and we took a very, very pragmatic but very, very strong approach to the market. The Korean market in optical, and many other categories of products, but optical in particular, is a very promotional market. In that market, everybody expects to get discounts, promotions, buy one, get one free, and things like this. We took the approach that our key products will not be either discounted or promoted. For the first 2 or 3 months of the year, we saw some resistance. By mid of March, we started doing better. April, we did very well, and I think that at the end of the game, it's a question of how you want to play your commercial strategy. Markets will adapt to your commercial strategy if you have the right brands and the brands the consumer wants. So while we had only marginal growth, I think compared to last year, just probably 10-15%, we expect the growth to be much more significant the rest of the year.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Antoine Belge of HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, just two follow-ups. In fact, just I'm getting a bit confused on how much sales with Polo you're going to do in the year, because I, to someone else's question, you said in Q2 that there will be another 10 million, and I had understood that it would be only 10 million for the full year. And the second question more, if you go into China, so you will start opening store there, or do you think that you've got to buy existing stores and rebrand them afterwards?
Okay. As far as Polo sales, as we said before, and we cannot be more specific, we sold in the range of between $5 and $10 million. We have confidentiality agreements and so on and so forth about giving information about the precise number. We do not expect to sell more than $10 million this year, which means that likely during the second quarter we'll add another couple of million, so whatever we sold the first quarter, but not to sell more than $10 million for the entire year. I hope, did you understand now?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
No problem. As far as China, we tend to believe, after having explored the retail market for the last 6 months, that there is really no value in what existing in the market right now. Majority of what exists is of quality that is not to the level we wish to see. And we think that unless something particular happened, which I doubt at this point, because we did explore that market for quite a bit at this point, that probably the best strategy is to open our own doors and start a strategy more like we did in the United States. But in China, that strategy will not be exclusively sunglasses, it will be mostly optical stores. But as I said, that is a strategy we're exploring. We're considering right now locations, looking at cost and infrastructures. We're hiring a few people now to start the process, but it's going to be, likely something's going to start to happen before the end of the year, but I cannot guarantee that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay. Thank you all for participating, and look forward to see you. Soon we will be at the roadshow in another week, and I would like to see most of you, and see you in person will be probably better than talking to a machine.
Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.